Okay, we ready to go? Good morning, everyone. It's approximately 9 o'clock on Thursday, June 27th. This is the date and time scheduled for the Tax Commission open meeting. I'm Commission Chair Bruce Johnson. With me is Commissioner Darcy Dixon Pignanelli, Commissioner Michael Cragen, Commissioner Robert Piro, and also with us on the stand here at the table is our Executive Director, Barry Conover. We have a very brief agenda. I don't see any members of the public who want to address us. So we'll move on. The next item is membership in the Multi-State Tax Compact. Given what happened with the legislation, I just thought it would be appropriate to send a letter to the Multi-State Tax Commission, just giving them formal notice of the legislative action that had been taken and what we think our position is. And I wanted to get comments and approval from the other members of the commission in doing that. I think you have a draft before you of the letter. It's very simple. It merely states that the legislation that was passed, Senate Bill 247, terminated our membership in the Multi-State Tax Compact effective June 30th, 2013. Then it reenacted the compact effective July 1st, 2013, with the omission of Articles 3, 4, and 9. The compact provides that it becomes effective when it's enacted in substantially the same form by a certain number of states. And the my discussions with the Multi-State Tax Commission people, they have taken the position that substantially the same form is fairly broad language, and they recognize that many of their member states have repealed Article 3 or Article 4 or amended them substantially. I'm comfortable based on that and formal action actually that was taken by the committee or by the commission several years ago when Florida went to a single weighted sales factor formula, that that is a justifiable position. So we are informing them that we believe that we will be a full member of the compact until the sunset date in the legislation, which is next year, June 30th, 2014. But I've also noted in here that we have had conversations with the bill sponsors that they intend to revisit the issue, and in fact, they've already had one hearing last week addressing the Multi-State Tax Compact, and Joe Huddleston was kind enough to come to Salt Lake to explain a little bit about the Multi-State Tax Commission. So that is that would be my proposal, that we send this letter to the Multi-State Tax Commission informing them of our status and our understanding that we are now currently a full compact member under the version of the compact that became effective July 1st, or will become effective July 1st, 2013.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Dixon.
Yes, a couple of items. While we as fellow commissioners might be aware of some of the issues, just for the benefit of the public record, can you just summarize why this became an issue? What was the precedence for Senate Bill 247 and the changes in Articles 3, 4, and 9?
The way the compact was originally set up and envisioned, it basically said it was an attempt to achieve uniformity for multi-state tax or for multi-state businesses in tax matters. And Article 3 said a state may have its own tax system for corporate income taxpayers, or I suppose any taxpayers, but it also has to make available the tax apportionment system outlined in Article 4. And Article 4 was the Uniform Division of Income for Tax Purposes Act. So as originally envisioned, it said you can have a two-factor formula, one-factor formula, you can have anything else, but you have to make this equally weighted three-factor formula available to a multi-state taxpayer that chooses to use it. A couple of states did that initially, but over time, what most states did is they just enacted the three-factor formula for everybody and didn't have an alternative formula. And then over time, as it became more popular to move to a double-weighted sales factor or a single-weighted sales factor, the states, including multi-state tax commission members, gravitated away from the equally weighted three-factor formula. California notably did that, and they passed legislation that said, notwithstanding this provision of the multi-state tax compact, you have to use the double-weighted sales factor. Or I think now, I'm not sure if it's a single-weighted sales factor now in California or not, but anyway, you have to use the modified apportionment formula. Taxpayers challenged that in a case called Gillette. They said that they argued that the legislature did not have the authority to modify the compact. It was a multi-state tax compact, an agreement among many states, and they said California's only option under the compact was to repeal a compact. They couldn't amend it. That decision has since been vacated. It's been appealed, and the California Supreme Court has granted review. There are other cases in Michigan, one of them holding in favor of Michigan on a similar issue, the Michigan Court of Claims holding against Michigan on the same case. So that conflict will be resolved by the Michigan Supreme Court. We are not bound by the California court, so even if the California Supreme Court were to affirm Gillette, that wouldn't be binding on Utah courts. But it does raise the possibility that taxpayers could make similar arguments in Utah. If they make similar arguments in Utah and the Utah courts agree with those arguments, then there is a certain amount of refund exposure, because taxpayers who would have a better result under an equally weighted three-factor formula would file a claim for refund. So really, as a protective matter to cut off any of those claims going forward, the legislature, in consultation with the tax commission, took the action that's described in this letter. I did, on behalf of the commission, argue strongly that membership in the compact is very important to us. The audit program, particularly the Nexus program, particularly bring in a lot of revenue. And with all due respect to Craig Sandberg, the capable and efficient director of our auditing division, we simply don't have the resources in our auditing division to audit Bank of America, Wells Fargo, these large multi-state taxpayers. The only effective way we can really audit those is in conjunction with other states and in cooperation with other states. And I think the legislature understands that. Certainly the Revenue Tax Committee, I think, understands that. So they were very comfortable with us reenacting the compact now with those changes. So we've complied with what the California Court of Appeals said California would have to do. That's kind of a long answer. But that's why we are where we are. It is to cut off potential refund claims if taxpayers were to be successful in Utah on similar litigation.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. And are you able to say off the top of your head what Articles 4 and 9 did?
Well, Article 3 is the option. Article 4 is the Uniform Division of Income for Tax Purposes Act itself. And although we haven't adopted that as part of the compact, I will note that we have probably 95% of Article 4 in our apportionment statute, because we compute the factors, the payroll factor, the same way that's set out in Article 4. We compute the property factor the same way. With one exception, we compute the sales factor the same way. So I would say 95% of Article 4 is really in our statutes. Article 9, I believe, is mandatory, is arbitration. I'm going to check on that. Article 9 is arbitration, and basically, from the very beginning, Article 9 has been optional to the states. Most of the states did not want to enter into a mandatory arbitration proceeding. So the compact itself envisions that Article 9 could be omitted by a state.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Any other questions?
The only other item I was going to note about the letter, I think it's self-evident based upon the timing of it, but that Senate Bill 247 was a piece of legislation from 2013. Sometimes after those bills, you put the date, because there can be a similar bill number for subsequent years and prior years. So just for the public record, that Senate Bill 247 passed in the 2013 legislative session.
Yeah. Thank you. I would like to thank Lynn Solarzik particularly for drafting the letter. I tinkered with it a little bit. I trust she's not too concerned by any of the tinkering I did. So with that, I don't know that we've ever adopted any particular set of procedural rules. I know some people don't like the person conducting the meeting to make motions, but I'm going to go out on a limb and make a motion that we approve this letter and authorize me to send it to the Multi-State Tax Commission on behalf of the Tax Commission. Any discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Thank you, and we'll take care of that.
Mr. Chairman, will this letter be part of the record on our, like, information available on our website? Just curious about how that works.
Well, it would be certainly part of the record of this meeting. I don't know that it would be posted anywhere else on the website.
Okay.
Is there, you can give that some thought, and if there's some way you'd like it, I think it'd be helpful for taxpayers to post it. We could certainly look into that. All right, Executive Director Conover, now in his 41st year of service to the people of the state of Utah.
You're right. This has been a glorious 41 years. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I just have a couple of things. One is, Mr. Chairman, you and Commissioner Dixon met with Charlie, Krista, Tiffany, myself, and a consultant the other day by the name of Michael Bryce, talking about some redoing and refurbishing of the old hearing room on the east end of the building, getting new equipment, audio equipment, as well as documentary equipment, and doing some, bringing it in that kind of in the modern age rather than 20 years ago. And I just want to give you an update on that I have contacted purchasing, and I've spoken to Paul Mash, and what we would like to get accomplished. Once we get the information back from Mr. Bice, that we will sit down again and visit, we will try to get everything on state contract so we don't have to go outside the state contract process to get this stuff accomplished. And that will facilitate that process a great deal. And Mr. Mash said that is totally acceptable and would be the proper way of doing it. I also wanted to give you an update on our motor vehicle project. Just a brief one saying to you that we are ahead of schedule. We have a big day, a big weekend this weekend. We're going to run our first full mock, which means that we're going to take and convert the old motor vehicle file and move it into a test environment, production environment in the test side of things to see a number of things. How long it will take us to convert that file when we cut it across on the 15th, that weekend of the 15th of October. Seeing if we can, we have all the data identified, properly labeled, and when it comes up into what we call the Vader system, that it will all be properly noted and labeled. And we'll be planning on running, I think, four more mocks, full mocks, between now and conversion and cutover. And we have approximately 33 fast employees here working on the project. We have our partner in DTS that is fully staffed with technical people. And believe me, the motor vehicle division and VED divisions are totally committed, and we are using resources within those two organizations at a great percentage as well. It looks really good, and we're excited about bringing it up. As mentioned, that when this comes up, about 90% of our agency will be on a single platform. The only one that will not be on this platform will be property tax. And that is going to maximize our budget, is going to maximize our efficiencies in the budget and process and security and everything else. I also wanted to give you an update that we're issuing out the last of the tokens for those. All of the employees will be getting tokens for multi-factor authentication coming into our tax systems. All of our employees now have that have logged and secure encrypted thumb drives. They cannot use any of those other types of drives. It has to be a certain drive with a serial number. I also want to report to you that for a number of years now, we have tied down all USB ports, as well as CD and DVD drives, and only those that have a need and use to have one active has them active. And we will be using Somatic software to tie that thumb drive to that particular USB port on those individual employees. So if they go to put another thumb drive in that particular port, it will not read it, it will not accept it. It has to be the encrypted drive that has been assigned to them. And I think we will be doing extensive monitoring, scanning, and security audits we've already started on them. But they will be increased not only on the revenue side, but also on the DMV side. Our third parties will be reviewed for need and use. Law enforcement we send it to public safety. We will look at the USAGIS interface and do a self-audit there with those folks so that they know that we're checking on how our data is being used and it's not being misused, redisclosed, or self-disclosed. We've got a lot of things going on, and I just feel like I haven't given you an overview like that in quite some time, and I think I would like to be able to do that more frequently. Maybe as we have our meetings, I'll just bring up piecemeal these types of issues that we're addressing over here in the agency and make sure that you folks are well involved and well informed in those areas. Because you are affected by the tokens. The RSA tokens because of JustWare, and because JustWare does have FTI data in it, so that is something that we'll continue to do.
I'll say they have not been as obnoxious as I thought they were going to be.
We want that as a testimonial to everybody else.
That's my strong affirmation.
Anyway,
it could have been worse.
I just want to thank you as a commission for your support and commitment to the projects and to the processes, and I appreciate so much. We so much appreciate the good leadership that you give us. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Cobb? I would like to note, in terms of the FAST project, my understanding is that we typically have a lot more people from our business side that are participating in the implementation of those systems than is common. And although it could be argued that makes it a little bit more disruptive because you have fewer people to do the day-to-day work of the agency while a system's being implemented, I think our experience has been that we get a lot better buy-in from the employees, a lot more thorough understanding of what the system does, and that the employees, when FAST leaves, are much more able to deal with the problems that come up and implement the system smoothly, and that upfront investment pays dividends. And I would just like to, I would like to thank Barry, and I'd also like to thank Scott for his work on the project. Everything I've heard from the FAST people, everything I've heard from other sources indicates that Utah's really a model that FAST wishes that other states would emulate. So that's a tribute to you folks and the hard work you've done.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I so appreciate that. It's good to have Craig here. Auditors usually like to just do auditing. They have become very good testers. And from the get-go, our division management had bought into these systems, and they have devoted, and we haven't hardly missed a beat. I mean, our audit coverage, our collection revenues and stuff has been impacted very, very minimally. And because of the extra effort the folks that are doing, they're not on the project, it's been a real wonderful experience. And it also benefits not only the employee and the knowledge transfer issues, but the great beneficiary is that of the public, because their service and their needs are being met much quicker, much more quickly, and also much more accurately. And that is a big boon. And thank you for the recognition of Utah is. I think, just for an example, we had the state of North Dakota come in the first part of, a couple weeks ago, and spent a day with us talking about motor vehicle development and processes, left totally impressed with the way we do business. We have, is it Scott, about 70,000 scenarios, 60 to 70,000 scenarios that we're testing right now just in motor vehicle, unheard of in testing. We've got Oklahoma, Civ Oklahoma, coming in mid-July to take a look at the way we're doing business here as well. And then the 1st of August, the 6th and 7th of August, we have the delegation coming in from Poland to look at us. And so it's been a great compliment. And thank you, commissioners, for your support.
Any reports from the commissioners?
Just note that my current term of office ends on Sunday. I did receive a notice from the governor's staff that Governor Herbert will reappoint me to another term, and that the Senate will be informed of that on Tuesday of next week.
Well, congratulations. We
Thank
look
you.
Forward to a successful confirmation.
Thank you.
And a rousing 4 years.
Yes.
Anything else? All right, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor, say aye.
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 We are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.